Genesis chapter 26, beginning at verse number 12. It's going to be some Genesis chapter 27 as well. Let's begin Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. When you have it, say amen. When Isaiah planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord had blessed him. He became a very rich man. His wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, and the servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. Philistines filled him up with all of Isaiah's. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. And finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down. He reopened the wells of his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. And Isaac also restored the name of Abraham had given to them. Isaac's servant also dug in Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac herdman, so that Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. And Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time, there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. Amen. I want to talk about the Father's blessing. The Father's blessing. Those of you who've been in church for a while, you will remember that our ancestors, when they prayed, they used to pray, we don't hear this too much anymore, we pray in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Which ties our fathers and our grandfathers to our own lives. You remember in the Bible that God called Abraham, and Abraham was an old man, and God called him and said, I want you to go to a land where I tell you to go. Take your wife, Sarah, take all your kids, take all of your animals, take everything you have and move out of the land of Ur of Chaldees and move to where I will send you. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had some family issues. Abraham was not a perfect guy. Abraham lied a couple of times. Anybody ever lie? Don't raise your hand. Abraham had some problems, if you will. He was old, and Isaac had some problems as well in terms of his relationship with women. Don't raise your hands if you have ever had a problem with a woman. And please don't raise your hand if you've ever had a problem with a man. But they had some family issues. But Abraham heard a voice of God says, go and I will make you and I will make your descendants great. Sometimes we think that God will fulfill the promise through us. Sometimes he will fulfill the promise through our children. Every parent, every father, every mother that's worth his or her salt wants their children to do better than they did. Abraham was called and he was sent to this land. He says, God says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your children great. I'm going to make your descendants great. You know, and most of the time, when we hear these positive prophecies, we think that we're going to receive the blessing without doing any work. Look at somebody and say, you want the blessing, you got to work it. There's always going to be some obstacles. You know, one of the things that bothers me most about racism in America, you know, generally, I thought that once Martin Luther King fought the battle, that we wouldn't have to fight it anymore. But there's always some new guy who's going around trying to block the blessing. Do I have a witness in the house? Just because, you know, Martin fought and our ancestors fought and Ida B. Wells and others fought the battle. There's always going to be somebody trying to roll back the clock. Abraham, God called and said, listen, go out there. I'm going to make you a blessing. And God, you know, he blessed him. He sent him. The enemy was out there. And Abraham fought. And they won battles. The Jebusites and the Amorites. And they Canaanites. And they won battles. But then there was one battle after another battle. They had a season of peace. But while they were in peace, the enemies were regrouping to roll back the clock. And look at somebody say, nothing's changed. George Wallace is dead, but his sons and daughters are still coming. And I don't mean his biological sons. I'm talking about people who have the same ideology and the same mindset. I'm talking about people who think we still should be in Africa. I'm talking about people who think we still should be in chains. I'm talking about people who think that we've got too much. You ever met anybody like that? Talking about people who not satisfied that you living in suburbia. I'm talking about people who don't want you to be principal of the high school. I'm talking about people who don't want you to be president of the United States of America. I'm talking about people who don't think that you have a right to be president of the United States. In fact, of the matter, they don't even think you're an American citizen. And you've gone to Harvard. You've gone to their best school. You've learned some of their best teachers. And now they still don't think you have a right. What you going to do? Just lay down and die because they don't like you? You're going to stand up and be a man. You're going to stand up. I am not going to die because you don't think I have a right. I'm going to prosper in spite of you. Abraham. Old man Abraham, lying Abraham, cheating Abraham, old man Abraham. I'm so glad that the Lord uses ordinary people. Because if he just used perfect people, I wouldn't be here. And I got a sneaky suspicion y'all wouldn't be here either. Because you cut out of the same mold I'm cut out of. You got the same stuff in your DNA that I have. And you got a little dirt inside you too. Abraham, God calls him and says, and Abraham prospers. God calls him. Maybe he started out with 10 cows and a few sheep and a few goats, but he goes out there and he digs a well and the grass flows, and now he's got more sheep and more goats. He starts out as a poor man, and the next thing you know, he's multiplied. He becomes a rich man. Then in his old age, God says he's going to have some children, and he didn't have them until he's late in his life. Finally, he had Isaac, and Isaac is his son. And the next thing you know, Abraham and Isaac are rich cats. And the reason they're rich, you can't become a rich farmer unless you have some water. That's why the Bible starts talking about wells and digging wells. And God would say, go over here. And he'd go over there and he'd dig a well and there'd be water. And he'd be able to feed the sheep and feed the goats and feed the animals. Next thing you know, his flock multiplies and he is a rich man. And he prospers. Then, lo and behold, he has Isaac and he leaves it to Isaac. And then the next thing you know, once he begins to be prosperous, the enemy says you become too rich. You become too prosperous. Does that sound familiar to you? People say, you're doing too good. They must not have seen the prison numbers of black people. They must not have seen the unemployment numbers of black people. Must not have read about the educational system. Doing too good. What are you talking about? Just because a handful of us got a decent job, just because we got one president in here, we still got work to do. We got a lot of work to do. If I go back to Africa, it will be because I want to. Not because you're trying to make me go back. Amen? Too many of our ancestors have died for this country. Too much blood has been spilled for this country. And for you, because the well, Martin Luther King dug the well for us. It was a watering hole of opportunity for us. And I know the enemies are coming and trying to fill the well with negativity, racism. In this case, the enemies fill the well that Abraham had built. And when Isaac came along, they had to redig the well. Look at somebody and say, you got to redig the well. You got to dig up the dirt. I know they try to fill it in, but you got to dig it up again. You got to get a watering hole again because that's where our opportunity is. I don't know why it is. It seemed like that the racism is worse this time than last time. Because last time, at least, they were open. I don't like you. I don't like your mama. I don't like your daddy. You ain't nobody. You ain't never got. Now they're trying to act like, oh, you all that. But at the same time, they've put it beyond the veil. The 1%ers, the 99%ers, this Tea Party stuff. And they try to act like capitalism is a godsend. Capitalism is good, but capitalism is not perfect. And then they try to act like anytime you want to help somebody, you're a socialist. If feeding somebody and educating somebody is socialism, call me socialist. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get three strong father figures talking to one another? That not only are you talking to your father, but you're standing on the shoulders of your grandfather. And that not only do you have the blessings of your little education, because the last thing we ought to celebrate is the fact that sometimes we think we're the only one in the family who's ever done anything. We try to scandalize our father sometimes. He wasn't there, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, he wasn't this. Well, whatever he wasn't, he was your seed. And some of our fathers worked three jobs at some mill and some auto factory and worked a night shift. And yeah, they might have been drinking, but they were working and they were providing and they were making a way for us. And
We are who we are because of their sacrifice.
It's interesting how the congregation is only the men talking. Only the men plotted on that. Over this side is silent. Here it is, here. He says, Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and said, I'll make you a great nation. And out of you, you have Isaac, who'll be your father. And he's expected to move this generation along. He'll try to do some things, but the enemies will try to come and dirty up the well again. And the enemies will always try to fill in the well again. But you and I, you strong black brothers, you strong white brothers, you strong people who believe in justice, you've got to redig the wells. I'm sorry, I wish you didn't have to be that, but you gotta dig the old wells and you gotta dig some new wells. Because I guarantee you, there are some folk in Washington and in Trenton and in Hackensack and whatever community you live in, they specialize in the fact of knowing that we're going to get tired of redigging old wells. All they got to do is just keep putting the dirt in. And they're going to say, black folk don't last long. Just fill it up again. After a while, they'll just stop digging. And when they stop digging, we're going to roll back the clock. Roll back the clock of voter registration. Roll back the clock of education. We're going to privatize all the schools. And we're going to put our kids in the charter schools and your kids in the public schools. And we're going to take back our country. The heck you speak. It's as much my country as it is. The only one who really can say it's our country is Native Americans. Everybody else came here in some ship or another. And regardless of how we came, we're all in the same boat now. But when, here's the other thing, Abraham was called. He went out there. He became rich. He had all these cattle, all these sheep, because, there was a watering hole and an opportunity to become a great farmer. The enemies, when he started doing really good, the enemy says, you're doing too good. Get out of town. It's just like, people sell us, get out of town. Send all the immigrants out of town, all of that. We just don't want you no more. When we had factories, you were all right. When we had people, we didn't have nobody to work the factories. We didn't have anybody to clean our apartments and our houses. We could use you then. But right now, we just don't need you. And so they're filling in the wells. And the church of Jesus Christ has to be in the middle of the mess and encourage our people to redig the old wells. Because over here, somebody in here know what I'm talking about. Somebody in here have had a great 401k. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had so much money in my 401k, I thought I could retire any minute. And if the deacons got on my last nerve, I would be all right. Because I had money in my 401k, but now I need y'all. I ain't messing with you too much today. I'm talking with humility now. How many of you know your circumstance can change your attitude? Now I'm praying for my 401k to come back, but in the meantime, let's talk, brothers. And sisterins. But you can't stop
just because you're on an economic downturn, just because, you know, Abraham's son and Isaac, he was rich, but then the enemies tried to destroy him, and they filled in the well, and they tried to destroy his mindset and say, what's the use? Because every time I go dig a well, they come in there and fill it up, but he just says, redig that thing. Dig another well. Just keep on, and God opens up doors for you. After a while, if you just keep on reinvesting, even in a down market, the Lord will open up doors. Do I have a witness in the house? The Lord will open. You've got to refocus your mind. Even though they filled in the well, you got to stay right with it. You got to redig those wells. You got to stay steadfast and unmovable and move forward in Jesus.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You got to read chapter 27 of Genesis. Chapter 27 talks about Jacob and Isaac. Isaac is getting old. Isaac says, you know, listen, go out there. He has two boys. You know the story. He has what? Esau and Jacob. And so Isaac is getting to be an old man now, and he thinks he's going to die. He calls everybody in. Says, go out and kill a calf and then come in so that I can bless you. Isaac is 100 years old. He's John King's age. When he decides he's going to bless him, he thought he was going to die. And then he lived another 50 years. Look at somebody and say, just because I'm sick, don't plan the funeral yet. Have you ever felt like, you know, when you start getting my age, 60, sometimes you feel like, I don't know how long I got. But just because you're sick, I got good health insurance. Thank the barber. And I exercise it. I use it. She'd be saying, why are you going to the doctor? Because I want to hang in here. I'm not one of those guys, you know, I don't mind going to the doctor. I go to the doctor 5 times more than anybody in my family. And not ashamed. In fact, I'm thinking about calling the doctor tomorrow. But Isaac calls. He says, listen, come, you know, call the boys in. He says, I think I'm going to die. So I want to bless you. There's four ingredients in the Father's blessing. Four things that the Father needs to do. The first thing that the Father needs to do, you need to touch your children. We live in a generation now where, you know, if you touch a kid, all of a sudden you're gay. You need to touch your son. You need to touch your daughter. You need to hug them every now and then. You need to put your arms around them every now and then. Ain't nothing wrong with touching your son or your daughter. Because sometimes a touch can do more than any word can. I know there's a woman in here that understands. You know how you are, women. Y'all will hug each other for 20 minutes. Not say one word. Father, if you want to bless your son or you want to bless your daughter, particularly at an early age, your kids can't understand your word, but they can understand you holding them and rocking them and just affirming them. And then secondly, if you want to bless your kids, you need to say a compliment to your child. In this text, if you read over in the 27th chapter, Isaiah says to Jacob, you smell like the field. Because he was a farmer. He says, you have that earthy smell to you. I affirm you that you're a farmer. I'm old now, and you're the oldest one, and you are my pension system. You know, long before, you know, we had 401ks, family members used to take care of their parents. Your parents have suffered for us all of our lives, and now they're old and feeble and can't do nothing, or they got a little bit, $400 worth of Social Security, and you and I going out there wasting $1,000 a month while our parents struggle. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. And Isaac calls him and says, I smell the farm in you. I smell the fact that you've been out there in the field. I read this in somewhere. I read that the average male will criticize their child 10 times for every one time they give them a positive compliment. You want to bless your children? Y'all know what I'm doing? Flip it! Flip the one criticism for every 10 positive things. Now, sometimes it might be hard to find a positive thing, but just keep on looking. I like your sneakers. I like the way your hair. I like the way you do your hair. I like your smile. I like the way you take care of your teeth. I like that you work out at the gym. I like that you're running every night. I like that you honor your mother. I like that you study your lesson. Find something to bless your child. Nice to have your teacher to bless your child. Nice to have your preacher to bless your child. But bless your own child. Flesh of your flesh. Bone of your bone. Bless them. Give them a positive comment. And today, for God's sake, bless your father. Now, sometimes it might be hard. But bless your father. And that's why I like this text. Because the Lord, because Isaac blessed Jacob was a liar. Jacob stole his brother's birthright, pretended like he was Esau, and he went in there. He wanted his father's blessing. But thanks be to God that Isaac didn't change his mind. He blessed him anyhow. And I'm glad about that, because I want my blessing. I'm not perfect, but I still want a blessing. Do I have one brother that will say I'm not perfect, but I still need my father's blessing? I want my parents' blessing. First thing is, touch your children. Speak positive comments to your children. Third thing, pray a valuable. Teach your children that they're valuable, that they're worth something. Isaac prayed. He says, may the dew come up in the morning. May you have great wine. May make some good grapes so we can have good wine. And then he says, in the future, may the whoever curses you be cursed. And whoever blesses you be blessed, because you are somebody. I love you, boy. I love you. I'm looking out for you. You are valuable to me. You are my son. You are my daughter. Every child needs to have somebody praying a valuable prayer to. Enough of this. You ain't going to be nobody. The world says that. Enough of this negativity with our sons and our daughters. You are valuable. Girl, you are so bright. I need sunglasses just to look in your eyes. I mean, I just expect so much from you. I gotta have two pairs of sunglasses. Because you are somebody. You just like my young brother. He's going somewhere. You don't need somebody. The church has to affirm him. Church has to affirm Shakira. Church has to affirm those kids who may not have a father. I'm one of them. But thanks be to God, I always had role models. I had my grandfather, and then I had other men, and I had uncles, and I had church people, and I had deacons, and I had preachers. I always had some, and I had people who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And all of them were not black. I had some white folk who believed in me too. It's not a black thing. It's a positive thing. You want to bless your kids. You with me so far? You got to do three things so far. The first thing you got to do is what? Reach out and touch. And then you got to say some positive comment. You got to affirm them. And the third thing, you've got to get in their minds that they are valuable. And the fourth thing, if you want to bless your child, you got to vision the future. You got to help them see. Yeah, I'm in the project. Cynthia Mullins. Simmons, she just retired after 32 years in the public school system of New York as a principal. And one of the speakers had the people who grew up in the projects to stand up. There were so many PhDs and master's degrees. I mean, yeah, we grew up in the projects, but it was good living compared to where I came from. Yeah, you grew up in the project, but I'm a living witness. I don't have a PhD, but I got a master's from the project. You don't have nothing to do with where you came from, but you have everything to do with where you're going. And you and I, who are former projects people, who are former EOF students, who are former students who just made it by the skin of our teeth. You know how we always act like, oh yeah, I was so smart. No, I wasn't. But thanks be to God, somebody saw a future. Somebody talked to me, Jackson, you can do it. Jackson, you can go to seminary. Jackson, you can finish seminary. Jackson, you can make it. Somebody believed in me, and they showed me a picture of my future that I could not see for myself. And if you want to bless your kids, you got to show them a future that they can't see for them. You got to make it so bright that they understand that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do I have a witness in the house? You want to be a blessing to your child, you got to show them the future. You see these guys riding around in these fancy cars. I mean, there's some guys riding around in cars. Their wheels cost more than my car. I mean, they got them, you know them things. They are so pretty. But I'd be scared to go to the mall with them. But I want to show kids a future that says, today the brothers get all excited about having a car with wheels. I want you to know one of these days you're going to be flying out of Teterboro. Right now, people talk to me. They say, well, and even kids, they say, Pastor, well, where are you going? I said, well, I just got back from London, wherever. But I got to drive all the way to Newark. And I sit in the backyard, Barbara and I, at my house. And every 3 minutes, there's a plane flying over our head. They ain't going to Newark. They're flying to Teterboro. Now, from where I came from in South Carolina, flying out of Newark is good. But I expect for Michael, Monique, and Ashard and these other kids to fly out of Teterboro. I expect for them to have a Felix in their life driving them to Teterboro. I expect for them to do better than we did. But if you want to bless your kids, you gotta show them that vision. I see you having a private pilot. I see you having your own company that Richard Jones is going to talk about, internet. I see you hiring people who come out of jail. I see you decriminalizing people who have been to jail just because they made a mistake. I see you opening doors of opportunity. I see you growing great businesses and with people who've been to jail and who have changed their lives. That's what I see. I see the church standing in the midst of people's lives, opening doors of opportunity. I see black men stepping up to the plate, taking care of their kids and their families. I see children adoring their fathers. I see young men who got started early on in fathering, learning what it means to be a man. That's what I see. Because we need Abraham, Isaac, don't think because you're 30, you don't need your father anymore. Don't think because you're 40, you don't need your grandfather anymore. We do. And for God's sake, fathers and grandfathers, don't write your sons and daughters off because they made a mistake.